My name is Amber Perry, and I am here to just attest to Welk. My daughter, damn it, I said I wouldn't get emotional. It's fine. So my daughter has level one autism, which there's three levels generally, and level one being the least aggressive, you could say. She started Welk when she turned 3 years old, and that was April 30th, so she started the beginning of May. When she started, she was in an IEP only class. So she was one of seven kids. And of those seven, she was one of two verbal children. So she could like say words, express her emotions, say no to things, all of that fun stuff that every toddler does. Since then, she went into the summer program, which is 7:30 to 11:30 in the morning. Great help. It kept the structure going for the few months that she started her like pre-K three, you could say. So this year that we're in currently is her first full year. They switched her from being a full IEP class because she would have been one of four students that she would have been the only verbal student. And the thing we wanted to strengthen and work on was her being able to see other children, how they spoke, how they worked together, integrated, played, all of those things. So we switched her from an IEP-only class to the integrated with peers class. I'm here just as a concerned parent for the decrease of integrated classes at Welk, because I can attest that my daughter is not the same person. She plays with kids, which she never did before, ever. Like holding kids' hands, asking, hey, I don't want to say another child's name, but Bob, come play with me, things like that. And that was one of my biggest fears, because I also have a two-year-old, and she at the time could not be bothered with him whatsoever. So now in an integrated peer class with her one main teacher and technically three TAs, but one is for a few students who need a lot of extra attention. So we'll just say two TAs. They have shown her leaps and bounds how to grow. I'm with her all day. Thankfully, I can work from home, and I can drive her to and from, so don't worry, I'm not an extra cost for driving my kid to school, savings. But I've seen her grow in ways that I think even a classic pre-K would not have been able to give her. She's gotten speech therapy. She doesn't necessarily need occupational therapy. I think she gets it here and there just on fine motor skills. But her speech therapy, being around other peers, typical children, the ones who do not need an IEP, has been pivotal in her education program. And that is why I wanted to come up and speak, because I just wanted to express the difference of the classes, because I think there was a little confusion. And for full day versus half day. Full day, she thrives. She's learning so much. She's absorbing. She's around all these kids playing on the playground, seeing what they do, seeing how to be a normal kid. And if she had to go to a half day program, granted with peers, I think it would just be such a disservice. She would regress drastically, especially she's still another full year of pre-K before she goes to kindergarten. So next year, if I had to have her in a half day class, I think it almost wouldn't even be worth it. Like I feel that I'd have to pull her out. And as someone who lives closer to East Greenwich than I do Warwick, because I have that silly 02818 zip code for paying Warwick taxes, I would be more inclined to try to get her into a program in a different district, just because I think it would help her the most. And not to mention also my son, just future speaking, I was so excited that he might have the same school at Welk, the same teachers even, maybe, obviously, but just the same experience that my daughter has gotten. But now, with all of the budget cuts, I see that even in a year or two, that will not be an option. I feel like every year, there's going to be more of a deficit, there's going to be more things that need our money, and there's not going to be this opportunity to grow. I don't even know if in 2 years, Welk will exist with all the changes that are being made. So I just wanted to come up and speak as someone who stalked all of you extensively online and noticed that you all, for the most part, went to a Warwick school. You, most of you, have children in Warwick schools. Most of you received your bachelor's or your master's at universities in this state. And I just think it's very important to notice that education starts from the ground up. And our kids, like, even it's just a preschool program, but she's learning and grasping and growing. And this is something that if she didn't have available, who knows what she might be in 10 years. And that's also to speak to the AP classes, which I'm a little fuzzy on that information you were throwing out, because when I went to another meeting, it was 8 people required, and then it was 10 people required, then it was 12 required for an AP class. And I think that our kids deserve a great pre-K experience, especially if they need extra assistance. And I think our kids also deserve to better themselves with AP credits in order to go to universities like most of you here have. And I just, it's heartbreaking to see what's happening at Tollgate. I didn't know anything about it before coming to these meetings, so news brief to me. But the fact that there's so many cuts, specifically in the science department, it's devastating for kids who, I mean, I could never get into AP Chem or physics or anything of that nature. I have a business degree. But the kids who want to and can't because the requirements keep changing, or a teacher retires and isn't fulfilled in that position, or that another teacher's being cut, and now there's all these classes that are disappearing on top of APs and electives that are disappearing with it. I don't think it's fair. I'm hopeful that expressing lovely emotion and telling you my own personal experience from my young daughter and son, who will hopefully, if things go well, eventually be in Warwick schools, it's just, the teachers are pivotal, and the kids are our future, and I think they deserve all of the assistance. And I mean, we're Warwick, we're huge. We have to be able to get money from somewhere, and teachers don't necessarily, they don't get overtime. They're salaried employees. Every other department gets millions allocated to overtime, which, again, ignorance is bliss. I'm just getting into identifying all of these things, and I'm just bringing it up because if I didn't, I would regret it. And then with the school systems in general, with enrollment and it constantly going down, it's because families, young families, are leaving the district. Because if you don't get assistance and get supported in your taxpayer dollars, why would you want to stay? And that's when I just go to, on the main Warwick page for our Captain Picozzi, my desire and goal is to make Warwick be a place that young families desire to move to, because this is no longer the case. The cornerstone of my plan will be to improve our school system. As a former Warwick School Committee chairman, I can attest to the fact that the relationship between the school department and city government has always been adversarial, at times viciously so. And that was when he was running for office. So I just, as a parent to 2 young children, and a parent that sees how much our teachers are putting into our future and how much they're year after year deprived, I'm hopeful that even the people who might not want the money spent in this budget, that maybe you'll find it in your hearts to look for that penny, that nickel, that extra dollar anywhere. Hell, I'll even offer my professional services for free if there's anything that could help our kids, because when everyone isn't in this chair position, our children will be, and we need to make sure they're as educated as possible to be doing what you're doing. And then I won't say all of the quotes I found from all of you about education, because everyone here thinks education is important. And on the main webpage, it's usually in one of all of your bullet points. So thank you very much. And I hope everyone has a wonderful night, because I'm going to go feed my kids. Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Kate Golbitz, and I'm very loud. I'm a school social worker in Warwick Schools for the past 14 years. I've worked in other mental health capacities to include at Bradley. I've also worked in the hospital setting, evaluating children with mental health crises and adults. I'm here today as the school social worker at Welk. I had the wonderful opportunity to start working there this school year. And I came into a school that is so fantastically, adequately staffed at present. Children are supported and they're safe. Throughout tonight's meeting and the different comments that people were making, I kept thinking of the Washington Bridge. And yes, I know we're not in East Providence, but I thought of the Washington Bridge because I think Welk is Warwick's bridge for children to their education. It is a bridge for our youngest, most vulnerable learners in this city. And the teaching assistants and the teachers at Welk are the tie downs. Now, clearly I'm not a bridge builder. I just learned what a tie down is, but I learned that it's the tie downs that was a major reason that that bridge failed. My concern with Welk is that we are eliminating a significant amount of tie downs. Those tie downs, again, being teacher assistants and teachers. We have some classes at Welk that have three students that require a teacher and two assistants, and I'll tell you why. Because sometimes we have students who have already, at 3, 4, just 5 years old, had to go to hospitals for admissions for being unsafe. When we have these children in our school systems, we need to staff adequately. We need to staff so that we are not creating risk. And if we are not staffing adequately, we are creating risk. These small children, some of who come to us with some severe mental health conditions, certainly developmental disabilities, oftentimes nonverbal, we have children putting things in their mouths. In an instant, they can ingest something. That is risk for you. So again, just like the Washington Bridge, if we could turn back time, those tie downs needed to be maintained. Those tie downs needed to be adequate to hold up the bridge. And right now, what we're doing at Welk, eliminating these tie downs, that bridge is going to falter. That bridge carries children with disabilities and without. It allows people to work in the city of Warwick, to bring in more revenue to the city of Warwick, gross, net, risk. These are all things we need to think about, and I encourage you all to look at the monies that are being appropriated to the schools, and certainly how the schools are using those monies to make sure that we have adequate tie downs in place. We're really considering the gross and the net and the risk. Lastly, I'm very concerned when we are making this really what is a very small cut here and now, which is going to cause so much, it's going to be more costly in the future. Again, these children at Welk, we are teaching them how to learn, how to interact with others. We are preparing them for kindergarten and on, to remove that building block, to remove that bridge. Certainly, they will falter. Thank you very much for your time.
Stephanie Catanzaro, Tollgate High School science teacher, taxpayer. I've been teaching 21 years now in the district. I wear two hats right now. I'm going to share a little bit of my experience with you, as well as the experience of some of my students that came to speak tonight. They unfortunately had to leave early so they could be inducted into the National Honor Society. So these are our high achieving students who are quite upset right now. So I'd like to also mention that these students are my students this year, so they're not here to advocate just for me or my class. They're here to advocate for their future in this district. To answer some of your questions from before, my personal experience is that AP classes, just 4 years ago, I had 4 students in my class. Last year, I had the 3 remaining years since then, I've had over the minimum, no questions asked. This past year, when we made the current schedule that we're teaching in right now, I was told that I needed 8 students minimum to run that class. I had 6 signed up, and they canceled the class because I didn't have 8. But bio AP this year is running with 4 students. So I had 6 sign up, my class got cut. Biology is running with 4. And now this year, when we're making our schedules, we are told that that number has been increased to 12 students. So when the original schedules were proposed in March, I at that point only had 4 in AP Physics 1. As of today, I am at the 12 student mark. I have 12 students interested in AP Physics 1 right now. When these students go to guidance, they are told that they can't add the class because it's not in Aspen in the schedule builder. So the class has been removed, and it's not there. So the guidance counselors can't put those classes in, and it looks like only 4 kids still wanted to take it. So I don't know if this is a fluid situation, if this can still get added to the schedule or not for my Physics 1 AP class. Talking about eliminating the science teacher at Tollgate High School in the current proposed budget, that was approved this week and last week, I suppose. I guess last week was to approve the total number, and this was to approve the individual teachers. Last school year, we lost a science teacher who retired, and that position was not fulfilled. So we lost about 100 seats in science classrooms when they did not fulfill that teaching position. We were down in enrollment by only 44 students. This current year, they're proposing, they already voted and approved to eliminate another science position. And this current school year, we're only down by 49 students. So in those 2 years, yes, our enrollment is down. And we can cover the fact that we lost our science teacher last year, but we can't afford to lose another science teacher at Tollgate High School this year. A lot of the classes that they teach, or the classes, excuse me, that will be eliminated will end up being elective classes because we still have to teach the state-required classes to the students who are still here. If we lost 200 students in 2 years, I would say, oh, I guess we have to lose a science teacher. But we haven't lost 200 students. We've only lost 100 in 2 years, which would account for the 1 loss of teaching position. Also, eliminating the teaching position has overloaded some of our other classes. So a class that might have been 22, 24 students is now at 27. I have an honors class that has 27 students, and they can attest to you what a difference it would be if just 5 to 8 of them got moved to another section. The schedule is so tight that the person who makes our schedule went through every single student's schedule to see if they could make a switch, and it wouldn't work because they had so many high-achieving classes that they are only offered on certain periods of the day. So every department at Tollgate High School is fighting for the same 50 students in all of our honors and AP classes, the same 80 students maybe. And it's not working. So we need to fix what's broken. We need to make a clear policy on how many students are needed in each class. We can't just raise it by 300% in 2 years, from 4 to 8 to 12 in just 2 years. My other hat is to speak on behalf of my physics students who were dismayed to hear about the loss of a teacher at Tollgate High School. Like I said, I'm speaking on behalf of them, but it is not in defense of my teaching or my classes that might run next year. And this would have been very passionate coming from the students, so I'm gonna try to live it up for him, but is there a price tag on our future? Students have curious and developing minds. They are the next generation, the next workforce, the nurses, the contractors, the engineers. They are the future. The choices they make will affect our loved ones and entire family. An educated, employed, and enthusiastic young workforce drives society into prosperity. But what are we actively doing right now? Cutting teachers, taking away precious promise of opportunity, taking away chance for more exposure to different studies, putting more pressure on other teachers and giving them less time to guide their already established classes. I can agree there are problems with our current budget, but cutting teachers has immensely deeper impact than covering a deficit. We have to ask ourselves, what really is a teacher? Teachers are the direct connection between our schools and the students attending them. Every program we have, every lesson to be taught, academic lessons or moral lessons, reach the student body through teachers. School does not function without that bridge between the future and the ones who will help prepare them for their future. This isn't just their future, this is everyone's future. You see numbers and not individuals, not society as a broader community than just a bunch of taxpayers and expenses. Your children, your grandchildren, or your nieces and nephews, all of your family pursuing an education are being given a price tag. But in reality, we need to be looking at them as factors. The best teacher availability and capability can mean the best student comprehension and improvement. The best students mean the best future. But if you treat them as just a bill, if you look at them as an expense and not as an investment, and you're foregoing foresight and choosing the short-term cheap solution. Do things cost money? Of course they do. But when it comes to our future, personal or in regards to the public as a whole, we cannot afford to take shortcuts. We cannot cut corners on the cornerstones of our society. We cannot look at our students and teachers as assets. We cannot put a price tag on our future. We have brand new schools and we're actively building, and all they're going to end up being are structures made of bricks and mortar containing our underexposed and underappreciated future. Bricks do not educate kids, teachers do. Mentors, guides, instructors. When I look outside of my school, I see the brand new building being constructed, and to me that symbolizes hope, that driving for positive change, for improvement to get to the future. But the future is being shortened and bet against. So I ask this of everyone, do not abandon us. Yes, student enrollment is down, but that doesn't mean abandon the kids that are still here. We are still here, still trying, still learning, still hoping to succeed, to be able to take pathways, to be able to succeed in the future held by everyone. Those were the words of my students. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Stuart Wilson. I'm from Ward 1. I am a parent of two students who go to Wyman Elementary School. So go Wyman. I also volunteer there, and I teach in the after-school program as well. I teach theater there, so I have some idea of what's going on. A lot of it, actually. And what I want to say about Wyman, from my experience, I know is true of Welk, too, and I have something from a Welk parent I'm going to read in a little bit. But so you understand my experience, we have this school in our community, E.T. Wyman, that is so much more than a building, right? And it serves the community in so many ways, and the community serves it, right? If you destroy a school, you risk destroying the community. You could see the harm it does. Some schools were closed in Warwick. I know enrollment is down. That means we need to ensure that the schools left have more than they need, because there are overstuffed classrooms in these schools, and there are schools that are being neglected. I know $350 million was spent on high schools, and I think that's great. However, I don't think it's great that it costs so much more. I know that there was inflation, right? But nobody likes when the price tag goes up on the schools. Of course, we don't like that. But unfortunately, the city of Warwick does not have the power to escape market trends and the overall financial resources. Nonetheless, it's a great investment in the future. At my kid's school, we recently did a supply drive. Kids bring in paper. We ask kids to bring in reams of paper because the teachers need paper to print things out. One person making the most of the existing elementary school is Heather Clark. She's a first grade teacher there, and I want to call her out by name. She is my kid's teacher now twice. She has presented a new kind of patience for my second kid that I can be nothing but grateful for. We have a new principal there, Mrs. Dyko. And I love Mrs. Dyko, and one thing she's been teaching us all about is a growth mindset. And I'm proud to say my oldest son, Henry, won the Growth Mindset Award. So that's great. And he very much wanted me to speak here tonight. But as he explained, growth mindset is, even though you don't know about something, you can learn about it. The city of Warwick needs a growth mindset, okay? And I think, frankly, the mayor has a growth mindset. He understands that as we invest in our city, the city continues to grow and the revenues grow accordingly. But the best way to do that is to invest in the kids, okay? So that also keeps the kids in our schools, so we won't be paying to send them to other districts, all right? When we have the best schools, we will keep the kids. That's good for everything. I'm sorry, I have to jump around a little bit. So to my point on Welk as an excellent investment in the future of these kids, right? So that we're not behind the gun as they progress through the school systems. Because here's the thing about these kids. Once they're done at Welk, they're going to the public schools, and there could be over 20 people in a class with no TA. Like, that's an incredible jump for a kid, okay? So let's invest in them now. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of Warwick parent Caitlin Greeley, who could not be present due to childcare constraints. Caitlin asked me to share her strong concerns regarding the proposed cuts to the Warwick Early Learning Center, including reductions to classrooms, teaching assistants, and full-day preschool programming. She understands that Warwick is facing serious budget challenges and that difficult decisions need to be made. However, she strongly believes that cuts to early childhood education, especially services for our youngest and most vulnerable learners, are not where those reductions should occur. Two of Caitlin's children have benefited tremendously from Welk. Her daughter, in particular, has thrived in the full-day preschool program. She wanted to emphasize that the teachers and teaching assistants at Welk provide an extraordinary level of academic, social, and emotional support during one of the most critical stages of child development. And as a parent, I know how critical those years are. I know these kids. I know how helped they have been by Welk. These proposed reductions would have real impacts on children and families. Reducing teaching assistants will directly affect classroom support and student safety. Moving programs from full day to half day models will significantly reduce the consistency and quality of services students receive. Families who rely on full day preschool options will face additional hardship and instability. Caitlin also asked me to emphasize that teaching assistants are essential. They are a critical part of helping classrooms function effectively and ensure students receive the attention and support they need. It is also clear that the community deeply values these programs. The petition to preserve Welk services is now approaching 1,000 signatures, reflecting widespread concern among Warwick families and residents. Early childhood education is foundational to the future success of our schools, students, and city. Caitlin respectfully urges the council to prioritize preserving existing Welk services, including full-day preschool options and adequate classroom staffing, as budget decisions move forward. Thank you for your time and consideration. Before I move on, or give you this back, I do want to go back once again to talk about, this is $1.1 million. This is an amount of money we can find. It's 11 people. That seems like a great way to have some good jobs in the city too. And the other phrase I kept thinking about was community peers, right? And how perfect a term that is, right? Because the community peers are also being served by this, as is the community. This is where we start to build that community that keeps us safe, that keeps us growing, and that will continue to support these kids' education by the whole community, for some of them, right through college, they'll be able to go and stay in Warwick. And I know that, you know, we're not here to talk about that, but we do want them here K through 12. And we should be showing them that this is an excellent place to learn. Thank you so much.
Jacob Maduro, Warwick resident, Warwick graduate, proud Warwick teacher. As a teacher, I find it part of that role to advocate on that behalf of the students. And that's all students. That's students with special needs, that students who are athletes, that students who are AP and honor students as well. As I just wanted to add on to what Ms. Catanzaro stated, there were 5 or 6 Tollgate students who were here tonight who unfortunately had to leave early because they were getting inducted into the National Honor Society. Just for context, I come to the school section of the budget meeting every year, and to my count, it has been 8 years. 8 years since that number of students has come to advocate for themselves and their future and their education. So if there's any doubt that they're the future of this city and one day might be sitting in one of your seats, I think that's all the proof you need. Think of what we've gone through over the last 8 years. We've gone through a once-in-a-century pandemic, distance learning, a high school bond, a financial school crisis. And this tonight was the most students who came out to advocate for their education. And my simple message is give them what they need. To give some context to Mr. Sinapi's questions to Director Crane, he asked him, were any AP classes cut? And Mr. Crane answered that none were directly cut, which is true. With that said, whoever made the decision to make the cutoff from 8 to 12, which is a 50% increase year over year, had an indirect consequence of cutting AP classes. And why else would we do that? What other rational explanation would there be than to be able to cut possibly 3 class AP classes that ran this year but and would have 8 to run next year but don't have 12? Just some food for thought. I know, this council doesn't have the power or the authority to direct the school committee or the school district to do anything. With that said, you do have the power to recommend, you do have the power to suggest, and you do have the power to encourage. About 5 years ago, Mr. Sinapi found on money, it was a line item approximately a little more than $10,000 to reinstate a robotics program at Winman, if I remember correctly. And he asked the school department, if I give you X, will you spend it on this? The school department did, and at least to my knowledge, that's like exactly how it happened. So my suggestion is you do the same thing. You encourage, suggest that the school department run the AP students for the future of Warwick. Thank you.
Hello, Darlene Netko. I've been teaching for 38 years, 36 of which have been in Warwick. I'm also president of the Warwick Teachers Union. Before I make the comments I intended to make, I need to make some corrections of statements that happened earlier this evening. First of all, substitute salary line item. I'm not sure, it wasn't broken down, but some of that money could be going for substitute pay for absentee administrators as well as absent teachers. They sometimes provide subs for teachers that have to go for professional development during the school day. Some of that money could be in there. The money that goes for teachers who are absent to provide a substitute is a finite amount, and once that amount is spent, the teachers pay for the rest of the substitute. So there's a formula in the contract that dictates how this amount is arrived at, and then each teacher pays a certain amount of money for each day that they were out. And so that line item, as far as the teachers are concerned, does not get exceeded. It's a finite amount. Now, I cannot speak for what happens when administrators are out, where that money comes from, or where anybody else is out, but I can speak about the contract regarding teacher absences and teachers' pay for the days that they are out. Now, also regarding the 90 days, As was pointed out earlier, we have that in our contract because we do not have workman's comp. And that was a decision that a previous city council made 40 years ago. So that is not under my control. That is not under the school department's control. That is under the city's control. The city made that determination. We have the 90 days because women who are out on maternity leave get to be on maternity leave based on that 90 days. People who unfortunately become very sick, cancer, etc., that's how they are out of school on that 90 days. I don't think anyone would be so heartless to deprive someone the right to maintain their job if they have cancer and need to be out. And I don't think anyone would be so heartless to deprive a woman of being out because she has given birth. But if that's what you are insinuating, we shouldn't have 90 days out and we don't have workman's comp, we don't have TDI or anything else, then what is a person to do? People get sick. People need days out. And furthermore, the school department conducted a study about 6 or 7 years ago that determined that the 90 days was not being abused. So if you want to see that report, you can talk to me and I will produce it for you and you can read it yourself in black and white. It's an easy way to attack 90 days, but as you can see, it's necessary. Now, regarding the WELC teachers having Fridays as every other Friday as a non-teaching day, that had to be put in place because our WELC teachers were not getting non-teaching time. They were going to work and barely getting time to eat lunch because they were with their students all day long. Fortunately, our teachers have TAs, and together they work as a team to work and educate the students. And so when the teachers would be able to go to eat lunch because the TAs were in the room or another professional in the building. But that every other Friday was put in place so our WELC teachers could get at least the non-teaching time that other teachers in the district get. Now, if you add up the minutes, it doesn't even add up to, say, for example, the 225 minutes a week that our elementary teachers get. And by the way, our elementary teacher, classroom teachers do not get non-teaching time every day if they do not have an itinerant on that day. They have their lunch, and that's it. So we don't have itinerants at WELC, so our teachers don't have that opportunity to have non-teaching time, hence the every other Friday. And once again, people in other professions get breaks. Our teachers at WELC are entitled to a break. Regarding the AP classes and the scheduling, Ms. Catanzaro mentioned Aspen to you. As a former department head, one who scheduled for my English department at Tollgate High School, I can tell you the way scheduling used to work. The administrator in charge of scheduling would take a look at all of the course requests from all of the students and figure out how many sections of each course should run. That administrator would then tell the department head, you need to schedule 14 ninth grade English classes, or we have enough students for two sections of SAT prep, or we have this, that, whatever. Then the department heads would get together with that administrator and would figure out where to place the AP classes, we called them singletons, in order to prevent kids from having conflicts in their schedule. And it would get to the point, as Ms. Catanzaro had mentioned earlier, printing out the list of names for each course request and seeing if there was a conflict. And then we would say, okay, you're going to put your class period 7, I'll put mine period 1, and then the kids can take what they want. That's not happening anymore because Aspen, as Ms. Catanzaro mentioned, is the program, is the online student system that Warwick uses. And the kids no longer fill out their requests on a piece of paper and leave it to leave a paper trail. They go into Aspen and they can only select what's in the drop-down menu in Aspen. And I discovered this year, because some of my colleagues called it to my attention, that the program of studies changed from 2024 to this year. And some courses, I'll give you an example, a heritage foreign language course that used to run at Pilgrim was missing from the drop-down menu. So how are our kids supposed to sign up for classes if they are missing from this drop-down menu? I think in this regard, we kind of need to go back to the days of paper. So there's a paper trail, and so we can see who has signed up for what and where it can go. Now, as far as the cuts, in addition to the cuts at Welk, the four or six teachers, the number has changed. There was also a cut in what's called the diagnostic teacher, the DPT, for evaluating three-year-olds coming into the system. We had three, and it was a hard fight to get three. And now we're back down to two. So each of our DPTs is going to have approximately 100 students that they're in charge of evaluating. That's excessive. Regarding the other cuts, they've cut an English teacher in each high school. That is going to result in larger class sizes and loss of electives. They've cut a social studies teacher in each high school. Again, loss of electives and increased class sizes. You heard about the science teacher issue. Loss of electives, increased number in classes. I want to clarify something else. Ms. Catanzaro mentioned 100 students. The class size maximum is 26. So theoretically, a teacher could have over 125 students, you know, could have 130 students, and many of our middle school teachers do. Fortunately, at the high school level, class size with all five classes is around 100 because there might be some AP classes or electives in there that aren't maxed out at 26. You're going to be looking at everybody having about 125 students on their caseload.
Got 1 minute, Ms. Necco.
Well, that was only to clarify stuff that happened earlier. So I don't think it's fair that I now have to reduce what I'd planned to say because I had to clarify misinformation. But okay, I'll try to make it quick. You've heard this before. The Budget Commission, your Budget Commission, proved that our schools needed $2.1 million for fiscal year 26. Add that $2.1 million in. That was the original budget the administration put out. The Budget Commission went through everything with a fine-tooth comb. They approved every expenditure that came before them except for $27,000 for Edpuzzle and $100,000 for student assistance, which they then told the city to take out of the opioid money. Our schools have consolidated in 2016 and 2018. There's a narrative out there that we are empty buildings. We are not. If you look at Scott Elementary, because people keep mentioning Scott, that's because we have a number of special ed, self-contained classrooms where students spend some of the time there, maybe a maximum of 8 or 9 students, and then go into the other classrooms for inclusion.
Ms. Necco, you're out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I guess it's just too bad that I couldn't have been allowed to speak earlier to clarify the stuff about 90 days and the contract. Maybe next time you have a question about the contract, ask me.
So I'm Anna Conti. I'm a special educator at Warwick Early Learning Center. I'm very grateful.
Can you state your name? We didn't catch that.
I'm so sorry. It does feel like, woo! Anna Conti. And I'm a special educator at Warwick Early Learning Center. And I appreciate everyone's time, and I cannot imagine the amount of work that it has taken to put together this budget, and I would want nothing to do with it, frankly, but here I am, because I do want something to do with it, because this is affecting my students, and that affects me, because that's why I got into education, because it matters. Just in terms of some points of clarification, we receive students in three ways. We get students either from the child outreach screenings, We also, oftentimes, our community peers are identified by the special educators in the classroom as perhaps needing special education services and are thereby referred to special education for testing and screening and oftentimes qualify for IEPs at that point. And we also get students who are receiving early intervention services, which is a federally funded, federally mandated program. When they are 3 years old, they are eligible for services through the school department in which their parents are living. So those are the three ways that we receive students. And that's why it's an ongoing enrollment throughout the year. Every single year, our classrooms start at smaller numbers. My classroom, typically, I teach in a self-contained classroom. I typically start with 4 or 5 students. I have never ended the year with less than 9. And mine is a specialty program for which students have to, there's a myriad of reasons why they qualify. So the other classrooms are receiving students on a much more ongoing basis. All of our AAP classes currently have between 5 and 6 students, I believe. So while we do have 5 AAP classrooms right now, and yes, the numbers are low for September, anticipating lower numbers for September, they will most certainly be needing more AAP classrooms. And those classrooms require a very specific certification that people walking down the street are not carrying. So we're going to lose teachers that are currently using those certifications. Because we're going to speak to the numbers at the beginning of the year. Also, we're not going to be violating IEPs. Teachers would never allow that to happen. Yes. However, as people have spoken about before, finding community peers for half-day programs is much more challenging. We could fill 25 classrooms with full-day peers, but finding parents who are able to get their students to school for only a half day is incredibly challenging. We don't have enough community peers right now in the integrated half-day classrooms that we have available. And that, while yes, RIDE does give us leeway because we are constantly searching for enrollment in those community peer programs, technically is not best practice and can be considered a violation of IEPs because the students with IEPs that are placed in that programs are there because they should be receiving education in an integrated setting with students who are typically developing because that is best practice for those students. So that's a problem. And the teachers that are teaching these programs, we have specific certifications at Warwick Early Learning Center. We have to be certified in both regular and special education for early childhood. Those people are also not just walking down the streets, and they're very hard to find mid-year because they've already been hired by all of the other districts. So I understand that times are hard and we are in a financial crisis and many districts are in a financial crisis, but that doesn't mean that we should be saying it's okay, it's adequate, it's enough, we're going to make it work. I don't think that that is what the goal we should be reaching for. I come from a long line of educators, okay? My grandfather was superintendent of schools in Johnston. My parents met teaching at the city that shall not be named. They both taught for over 45 years, and now here I am teaching in Warwick, and I am so proud to be a Warwick Public Schools teacher. I am so proud. I tell everyone, if you want the best special education services, you come to Warwick, because I've never seen anything like the teachers and the teaching assistants that I have seen in this district. It is incredible. So investing in our littlest learners, there have been studies that have shown that investment in early childhood education increases the likelihood of students graduating from high school, attending 2- and 4-year colleges, and it also is, they are higher earners in their careers. So there's direct correlation between investment in early childhood education and bringing money back into the city. it's not today. And I understand that. And I understand that we're talking about right now. But someday we have to look into the future and recognize that we can't just talk about putting Band-Aids on things right now, because there is a future ahead. And yes, people will come to this city. They will visit this city for our attractions. But they move to this city for the education. So I think that we need to keep that in mind when we're talking about funding our school department. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Joshua Myers. Just so you know, I had a three-pager written, but you guys asked that we try not to repeat topics. So I'm going to try to be brief. When many of you ran for office, people have already mentioned that everyone talked about the importance of our community and schools. This budget doesn't represent that to me. When we reduce investment in our schools, we're not just trimming expenses, but we are lowering the quality of education our children receive. And beyond the classroom, we are making Warwick less attractive to the many families we say we want to bring here, like many people have mentioned. People have already mentioned that families choose communities based on their schools, but also businesses look at workforce quality and property values reflect the strength of local education. When schools weaken, the entire city feels it. So it's not just a school issue, it's an economic issue, a community issue, and a long-term strategic issue for Warwick. I cut the rest out of what I prepared, but I did write some additional notes. Welk School, most vulnerable students and most vulnerable citizens in Warwick, and those parents and those students cannot do more with less. It's that simple. We need to invest now in those students, because if not, we're going to pay later. Two, we have two new high schools that many people are complaining about because they cost a lot of money. But I'm more worried about the product that's going to be inside the high school. We can have two great high schools, but if reducing teachers, reducing quality classes, not offering things to make us attractive, so people no longer want to leave Warwick, but flock to Warwick for an education, we can have North Kingstown talking bad about us because we're stealing all their students. The science teacher from Tollgate, the head of the department, I'm sorry, I forget your name, but my daughter's one of the people that she speaks about. So I'm just going to tell you something that no one else here can share. So I have an oldest son who's about to graduate high school, and unfortunately, it's East Greenwich High School. We chose to send him on a pathway. We knew that they were opening up pathways. We knew the moment to apply, and he was one of two or three students that got in. That has benefited him greatly. My daughter, who is a sophomore, she has excelled at school from the time that she was at Scott. If you went into Scott School and there's a teacher that was there when she was there, they'd probably still remember her. But now with what's happening, I feel like I've done her a disservice by keeping her at Tollgate. My daughter wants to do, and I believe that we were asking about before about what programs have to get cut, and I think there was a confusion about environmental science. She's really interested in the biomedical pathway, which is going to be, I believe, severely inhibited by the loss of the AP classes. My daughter won National History Day 2 out of the 3 years she participated as an honors student and as a freshman at Tollgate. And we traveled every year to Washington, D.C. And she really wants to go to Georgetown for medicine. Now, I used to be able to say, honey, Georgetown's really hard. That's an improbability. But based on the decisions that are being made here, it's become an impossibility. And that's sad that I have to look at my 16-year-old daughter who's worked at school as far back as I can remember, from the time she was in first grade, and tell her, sorry, honey, Warwick has failed you. Not us, Warwick. I have a son who's in 7th grade, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at North Kingstown. Because I can't trust that we'll make a decision as a community. It's not just them. It's not just them. It's everybody in the community has to make the decision that this is the investment they want to make in their children. And the community. It's not just about the schools. The schools bring more people to people that want to live here, increases property values. And also, I am shocked. I grew up in Warwick. I moved to Providence when I was in second grade. I have since returned to Warwick. And the amount of people that I have met who have grown up in Warwick, many of you have grown up in Warwick. We've had people come up here and give, I don't know if it's called testimony or whatever, but they also have lived and stayed in Warwick the whole time. Why don't we want to invest in our kids so they stay in Warwick and then bring attractive businesses or start attractive businesses in Warwick in order to reduce that tax burden on the taxpayers? But as long as we keep on devaluing their education, so therefore they can't go off to where they need to go in order to bring those great ideas back to Warwick, we're missing out. It's a short-term goal to solve a long-term problem. I think that's all I have. I won't make you guys listen to me anymore. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Jeremy Langell, Ward 5. I have two children at Warwick Neck Elementary. I'm also the advocacy chair for the Warwick Neck PTA. Obviously, I'm opposed to these budget cuts. My seven-year-old asked me the other day to draw a horse. And I said to her, I don't know how to draw a horse. And she said, what do you mean you don't know how to draw a horse? And so she sat down and she showed me how to draw a horse in the way that her art teacher at school taught her how to draw a horse. Now, the reason I don't know how to draw a horse is because I grew up in California in the 80s. And that was a time of massive budget cuts. The previous governor, Ronald Reagan, who had instituted this failed economic policy, which led to lots of budget cuts, when he became president, he left to the state that I grew up in this massive problem, where public schools were treated as an institution to make cuts, to balance budgets, right? And that was on the backs of all of the students. So I grew up in a system that was starved. And I am concerned about what I am seeing now. I'm proud of the fact that my seven-year-old can draw a horse and that she learned how to do that because she has an art teacher. And it was stunning to me to reflect on my own childhood and realize I didn't even have that. No art teacher, no music teacher. That's not what we want. That's certainly not why we moved here. So I want you to think about the implications, the long-term implications. I'll also say, and it's already been addressed, I think there are lots of social media keyboard warriors. They have lots of ideas. They have lots of opinions. For me, I value the opinions, actually the professional opinion and the professional work of our teachers, our administrators, and our school committee, who actually know what it takes to not just run a school district, but to work within ride regulations. And I think that this city council is wise to trust that. I would also encourage you all to focus on the things on the city side that are going to improve our city. We need more housing. We need better paying jobs, right? We need industry and companies and those kinds of things that are going to grow the tax base, right, and make this a more attractive place to live. So I regret that we're in this position. I understand that we're in this position, but I encourage you to think about the long-term consequences of these kinds of cuts. Thank you.
Hi, Kristen Ripley-McNamara, teacher, taxpayer, and parent of two students who recently graduated from Pilgrim. I hadn't planned on speaking tonight. I hate speaking, so I'm a little nervous, so please forgive me if I'm shaky. I decided to speak for several reasons. One, I had to leave Warwick as a teacher because we closed JBF. I'm heartbroken to hear that we're going in that same direction with Welk. My son, who is currently a sophomore at Bridgewater State University, started out as a peer in that kind of a program. It's not just important for the kids with the IEPs, with autism, but it's really important for those young kids to learn how to interact with those kids. So they are learning themselves how to be better citizens. My son came out with several friends from that program that he is still friends with to this day. That Welk program is critical. Also, the AP program.
My son, as a freshman at Bridgewater State, received an RU research grant to Ohio State University, which is unheard of for freshmen, and it was a very great honor. This year, he just found out, he received an REU grant to Washington State University. So he has won two as a freshman and a sophomore. His AP classes were accepted to the extent that he actually could graduate next year, but he's decided to do a double physics major, as well as a chemistry minor, all because of Dr. Savory and the teachers at Pilgrim. As a freshman, he started with COVID. He could not be in the National Honors Program because he didn't get the support he needed, because he had Bell's palsy. He was not successful as a freshman, but he totally turned that around. As a chemistry, physics, math student at Bridgewater, he currently has a 4.0 average because of our teachers in that science program. You cannot combine honors and AP. They are totally different programs, especially in science. If you take away those AP classes, if you take away the opportunity for our Welk students, both the peers and the other students, you are seriously hurting the students in our district. Now, when I had to leave JBF because you guys closed it, I went to North Kingstown. I was very excited when I had the opportunity to come back to Warwick. I was very excited to be a teacher back here again. But it's heartbreaking to hear that we are looking at things like, let's cut books because we're going to go to technology, when one of the things that we are lowest in our scores is reading. So as you look at these budgets, I really beg you to please reconsider programs like AP, where we have so many students that are shining, like my son, the students that were here that are getting honors, the students that are most at need, or looking at where our scores are and saying, okay, we're gonna cut books and give technology, even though we know that's one of our weakest areas in testing. I didn't plan on talking, that's all I have to say to you, but I really hope that you consider those things. Thank you.
All right, so it appears that concludes the school department, and so we're going to take a short break, more than 5 minutes, and then we'll get going because we got a long night ahead of us. Thank you for everyone who took the time to come out. It's appreciated. And for those who are wondering, we're going to pick up where we left off last night. So it's DPW Highway.